risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Luke chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has been resurrected. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day.'" And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen clothes. So he went home, amazed at what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, "What is this dispute that you're having with each other as you are walking?" And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. The one named Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked them. So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet powerful in action and speech before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him." He said to them, "How unwise and slow you are to believe in your hearts all that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses, all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." They came near the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and now the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. It was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. So they said to each other, "Weren't our hearts ablaze within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us?" That very hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together who said, "The Lord has certainly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then they began to describe what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And as they were saying these things, he himself stood among them. He said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you troubled?" he asked them. "And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still could not believe, because of their joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he told them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He also said to them, "This is what is written: the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And look, I am sending you what my Father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high." Then he, Jesus, led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was carried up into heaven. After worshiping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple complex, blessing God. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, a day of great celebration. A day that you had planned far long ago. A day that was no surprise. A day that was a surprise for disciples, for followers, for believers, for unbelievers. The day you died, they said, "Surely this was the man of God. This was God's son." And 3 days later, Jesus, you arose. What else can we say? What else did they say? What else could they say? Tried to say that your body was stolen. You tried to say that you didn't really die. Man will say just about anything to avoid the truth. That you, Lord Jesus, you died and you rose again. And now we have eternal life with you. Those of us that believe, those of us that follow, those of us that proclaim that Jesus Christ, you are Lord and Savior. What a day it was. And because because you died that day and you rose that day, and you gave us your Spirit, we can walk in assurance and power and strength and love and faith. An absolute trust and assurance that we can have life in eternity with you, Lord Jesus. So we simply say thank you. More than what words can express. We love you. We thank you. There is nothing that we can do to repay you. But we can do our best to follow you, to obey you, to walk in your Spirit. Father, would you empower us to do that today afresh? As we proclaim your glory, your words, your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Friday, Jesus is dead, the sinless Son of God given as a sacrifice for our salvation. He is dead. But not so fast. It's the third day. The sanctuary has been split. The curtain was split. The temple lays in ruins. The stone has been rolled away. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. We have two groups of people. Jesus' enemies who know he's alive, and they're bribing people to keep their mouths shut. And we have Jesus' followers who don't believe that he's alive, and they're engaged in various other activities. They've gone back to fishing. They're carrying embalming spices to take care of Jesus' body. Matthew 28, there's an earthquake. An angel appears, rolls back the stone from the entrance to the tomb. The guards are passed out. They regain consciousness, but the tomb is empty. Their lives are on the line. What happened to Jesus? Then they report this to the chief priests. The chief priests bribe them to keep their mouths shut and make up a lie. The chief priests will protect them because they know Jesus is alive. So now we have Jesus' friends. But first, what were the reminders that Jesus told his disciples? Matthew 16:21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Matthew 17:22-23. When they came together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. Matthew 20:18-20. We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. Jesus warned them. He didn't hide the truth from them. He told them plainly, this is going to happen. He just didn't tell them about his death, but he told them about his resurrection. So the question is, did they believe? Did they truly believe what Jesus told them? Or were they so devastated by what happened? They saw the miracles. They saw everything that Jesus did. They saw Lazarus come back to life. But in such devastation, it's easy to lose hope. Even Mary Magdalene, who'd been delivered from demon possession, she runs to the tomb. She's actually there when they bury him in the tomb. Joseph of Arimathea, part of the Sanhedrin, part of the ruling government that condemned Jesus to death and had him crucified. A rich man comes to Pilate and he asks for his body after Jesus is on the cross and he's dead. Life is gone. He comes to ask for Jesus' body. Stop and note, nobody else did, except for Joseph, a secret believer who had come to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, comes for his body, buys a tomb, has it carved out, buys a tomb in a garden, it's a fresh one, and puts Jesus' body in there. This is his way of paying penance. You feel guilty? We don't know. But we don't know a whole lot about Joseph of Arimathea. But we do know that he believed Jesus was the Son of God. He was a secret believer. And he asked for Jesus' body when no one else did. Mary Magdalene watches this. She's devastated. This is the Messiah, and my Messiah is dead. He's been in the tomb for 3 days. And she goes, and she's carrying the embalming spices to the tomb. And she sees the rock is rolled away. What have they done with my Jesus? What have they done with my Messiah? Mary. And she turns. Rabboni. Teacher. And she's overjoyed. It's the third day. What Jesus said would happen has happened. It's true. But when devastation and when hope seems to have been destroyed and taken from you, it's easy to become discouraged. It's easy to become devastated. On the third day, where are the apostles? Where are they? It says there's two on the road traveling to Emmaus. After the stuff that's happened that day. And it says the other ones are locked away, hiding from the Jews. Why are they hiding? Because weren't you and you and you, weren't you guys followers of Jesus? They're hiding for their lives. Because if they put Jesus to death, you're next. The two Marys are on their way to the tomb with embalming spices. Joseph and Nicodemus, his co-patriot, have come along. Disciples are hiding in a locked room. Two other disciples are headed to Emmaus. And we read that Jesus meets them on the road, and they're discussing and arguing about the things that have happened that day. And Jesus says, you know, what's this dispute you're having? They stop walking and they're discouraged. And they ask the most incredible question. Like, were you just born yesterday? Are you not aware what's happened? Everybody's talking about it because everybody's been to Jerusalem because it's the Passover. Everybody's gathered together at the temple. And this man came in and they're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. And he's coming in as the Messiah to reestablish Israel, to vanquish the Roman foes, to establish his kingdom. And everybody, his disciples, were shouting and cheering, and people were wondering, what the heck is going on? It shook the city. And you're the only one that wasn't aware of this. And Jesus says, what things happened? So they said, this is about Jesus the Nazarene. You remember Nazareth, where nothing good comes out of? We put our hope in Jesus, and we fell short again. Because nothing good comes out of Nazareth. But Jesus, he was a powerful, powerful prophet. They use the word prophet. He was powerful in action and speech before God and all the people. And our chief priests, our leaders, our religious leaders, our government leaders, they handed him over to be sentenced and put to death. They crucified him. We were hoping that he was the one that would redeem Israel. But he did say something. He said that on the third day, he would rise again. And you know, it's the third day. And some ladies have said they've seen a vision of angels that he's alive. Are we debating whether he's alive or not? It was reported by women who, in the court of law, their testimony was not regarded as valid. But they saw him. We have to say, isn't it easy to be on this side of history to believe that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day? To say that, you know, if we were there, we would have believed. We know that the tomb was indeed empty. We know that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. We know that Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples multiple times. We know that Jesus ate some cooked fish. And we know that he appeared to more than 500 disciples at one time. 1 Corinthians 15:16. And we've all heard this. If we've been in the church for any length of time, or been a believer for any length of time, we're aware of those details. The resurrection of Jesus is a line in the sand. No, it's not a line in the sand that says, I dare you to cross this line, but it's a line in the sand that says, you must cross this line. That Jesus was dead and rose again. It's the central part of our faith. Without the resurrection of Jesus, you and I are dead in our sins, and our life is of no consequence. There is no forgiveness of sins. There is no heaven. We are all dead in our sins because the perfect sacrifice had to be given, had to die. But just not stay dead, rose again. To say that sacrifice has been accepted in full. Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Jesus is alive. Do we believe it? The truth is, many people at that time wanted to roll the stone back in front of the tomb and keep Jesus inside. They paid the soldiers that were guarding the tomb to stay quiet. To say that his body had been stolen. To say that he was not God. Many people throughout history since then have tried to put Jesus back into the tomb. Many people today are trying to make Jesus dead and bury him in a tomb. Atheists dislike Jesus and any concept of God at all. Christianity or religion has been the cause or committed the cause of war and carnage throughout history. But the one thing that's failed to be mentioned is that many hospitals, orphanages, and universities have been named after people of faith. The truth is, the only life that Jesus has ever taken unjustly has been his own. Unjust in being that he did nothing wrong, he committed no sin, he just took the place of those who did and deserved it. That's us. Governments are trying to put Jesus in lockdown. Forbid or limit his gatherings, his community, his influence. You know what? If death and the devil could not lock down Jesus, what makes the powers and principalities of this present world think so? It is only a reality if Jesus' followers believe and allow it to be so. We even have special interest groups banning the charitable status of charities. Code word, churches. The Bible is being designated as hate literature that should be banned, and the passing of a law banning conversion therapy, a Christian witness. You know what? The Bible has survived over 2,000 years. People have been falling in love with Jesus and following him since he was born, because he is the truth and God who loves people unconditionally and will go to any lengths to save and seek the lost, even dying on a cross and rising 3 days later. God does not live in, nor is he restricted by a building, institutions, or the authorities of men. And now we have restrictions and censorship of any conservative point of view that promotes a conservative Christian value. It's labeled as white, racist, or colonial. The last time I studied my Bible, Jesus was not white. He was Jewish. He actually had olive skin. And he loves everyone, not desiring anyone to perish, but all to come to eternal life. Are you hearing the lies? Men have even reduced themselves to messing with creation itself by transforming men and women made perfect into men and women less than perfect. Instead of addressing sin at the source, doctors, counselors, and psychiatrists address the symptoms of the problem. Men and women who reject Jesus and turn away from the truth revealed 3 days after the grave that God loves them, just as they are. He didn't say, get dressed, put on your Sunday best, and when you got that all in place, come to me and I'll accept you. He didn't say that. He said, come as you are. Come as you are. Believe in me, trust in me, follow me. And be willing to be transformed. Change your thinking. Change your heart. Allow me to do that, Jesus says. And so the devil and this world try with all its might to put the stone back over the entrance of the tomb to keep Jesus sealed in darkness. It did not work then and it will not work today. Why? Because Romans 8:11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you. We talked about it on Good Friday. That death could not contain Jesus' spirit. And if you're a follower and believer in Jesus, he cannot contain your spirit either. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you have his spirit in you. And we have eternal life. There are others that are trying to put Jesus back in the tomb. They're of our own faith. They would say that Jesus only swooned on the cross and that he was revived later. This does not put Jesus back into the tomb, but it does deny the resurrection. Another speculation is that all the sightings of Jesus after his death were visions, including a mass apparition of greater than 500 people at one time. Remember the report that the graves opened up and the spirits departed? That was some really good stuff. Some say it was a metaphor. That Jesus' resurrection was just a metaphor showing us some deep spiritual truth. In reality, that man is dead and gone. That nothing else matters. Pastor, United Methodist pastor, memory of Easter sermon stated, most Christians don't believe in the resurrection anyway. Wow. According to a survey done in 2020 by Lifeway Research called The State of Theology, 66% or two-thirds of American adults believe the biblical account of Jesus' physical resurrection. I don't have Canadian stats because somehow Canadian stats are always hard to find. But 66% of American adults believe the biblical account of Jesus' physical resurrection. That means 20% do not, 14% are not sure. Of those who attend church at least once or twice a month, 89% are more likely to say they believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus. 89%. But 48% who do not attend as frequently are only apt to believe in Jesus' physical resurrection. Did you catch that? Only 89% believe in Jesus' resurrection. What should that number be? 100%? Absolutely. It's just not about the resurrection. An article entitled Five Things You Didn't Know About Jesus stated this. The crucifixion was not unique to Jesus. Thousands were crucified during the Roman Empire. Hey, it's true. Jesus most likely was not crucified in 33 AD. A debate with historians. But the kicker was this. Based on Jesus' exclamation of, my God, why have you forsaken me? Based on that one agonizing phrase, this guy concluded that Jesus did not just take our sins upon himself, but he actually experienced every sin, including becoming an atheist while hanging on the cross. Jesus the atheist. Have you ever heard that one before? Like Jesus did not know who he was. So in order to arrive at this conclusion, you need to set Jesus aside saying, forgive, Father, forgive them. Today you will be with me in paradise. It is finished. And Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You need to set those things aside. if we can contrive that Jesus being an atheist, then the resurrection just totally becomes irrelevant. So what do the scriptures say? Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is without foundation, and so is your faith. In addition, we are found to be false witnesses about God because we have testified about God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Therefore, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 19. Outside the church, and in unbelieving churches, the devil is still at work. Just as the evil one said to Eve, did God really say, so the evil one is saying to everyone every day, did Jesus really mean? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? So it calls for discernment. We need to recognize who's speaking to us. We need to recognize that the devil causes doubt about God's word or about his Holy Spirit speaking through his word. Romans 8, 6 to 9, for the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the spirit is life and peace. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, since the spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. We call Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior and have believed upon that. The Spirit of God lives in you, in us. That means that we live after this world passes away. Are we walking in a new way of life provided by Jesus, available through the Holy Spirit? Do I live in the resurrection power of Jesus' Spirit that could not be withheld by the grave? Do I offer myself as an instrument of righteousness to God, as one alive from the grave, empowered by the Holy Spirit and dead to sin? Death no longer rules over Christ, so why should it rule over us? Are we living as Jesus is risen from the grave? Is this truth in our lives? Are we living as if defeated or victorious? Are we walking in a new way of life secured by Jesus through his resurrection? Question we need to ask ourselves. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed.